Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Book of Jeremiah, whom God launches forth. Chosen by Almighty God before he ever entered his mother's womb, chapter 1. And then while in his mother's womb, he made the prophet, chose him as a prophet. And boy, has he used him well concerning Jerusalem and the coming of the king of Babylon. What does this mean to you today? These things, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 10:10, happened as in samples, an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning examples, so you would know what would happen at the end when the king of Babylon, spoken of in Revelation, comes. So this is very pertinent to you today. Now, what we're dealing with here, and you're going to run across the same thing in this generation. Most of Judah went into captivity as God ordered with Nebuchadnezzar. You got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They're down there. They're in college. And many of the others are living just fine. But all these deserters, so that when the war started, they ran like a bunch of rabbits, a bunch of cowards. And after Nebuchadnezzar put a commoner, Gedaliah, in charge as governor, not king, governor, they began to filter back in, and Ishmael murdered Gedaliah, and took Jeremiah and the king's daughters prisoner. And we're going to pick it up there as they begin to come around, asking these traitors, cowards, to Jeremiah, what's our word from the Lord? And Jeremiah knew they were a bunch of fakes because they had said, ask your God, not our God. These were children of Judah. Ask your God, not our God. So psychology lets you know they blew it coming out the gate. Jeremiah was onto their game. So having said that, as they ask a word from the Father, which they're not going to listen to anyway, we pick it up with chapter 42, verse 6. Let's go with it. And it reads, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now they add our, okay? To whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. If we obey that voice, we know that it'll be well with us. Now the thing is, these are one of these people that pray hoping God will say their way, and if God doesn't say it their way, they're going to do it their way and get busted anyway. You ever know anybody like that? Know what God would have them do and go just the opposite direction, fall flat on their face, simply because they wanted to do their will instead of God's will. It happens every day, especially if you're a deserter, okay? Verse 7, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. This 10 days kind of makes you think, does it not, of Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where you would be delivered up to the synagogue of Satan and have trial 10 days. Kind of a little preliminary, because the king of Babylon was already there. Verse 8, then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. He called the whole bunch. It is important that you remember who we're dealing here. They're going to be called Judah. But all it is a bunch of misfits. The real tribe is already gone. You understand? So just keep that in mind as we read. Verse 9. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplications before him. You wanted to know what he wanted? This is it. Verse 10, excuse me. if there's a condition, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. I repent this tumult that had to happen, okay? And do you think, though, that God knows what their mind is, okay? Verse 11, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Now, the king of Babylon in the end times, do you have to worry about him? Of course you don't. Why? God has given us authority and power over all of our enemies. And you know, coming out the gate, as it is written in Mark 13, you are to be delivered up before the king of Babylon, the Antichrist, so that the Holy Spirit can speak through you as a witness to the people so they can hear. And God takes care of his own. You don't have to worry about it. As he states in Luke chapter 21, not one hair on your head can be touched. Okay? And when God says he'll protect, that's exactly what he means. Verse 12, and I will swear mercies unto you. That, I will show mercies unto you. That's love. Okay? Understanding. Taking care of, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. And there you have, you don't have to worry. And so it is, again, to you in this end generation, never fear. God has promised he's going to take care of you. You don't have anything to worry about in being delivered when at the sixth trump, when the spurious Messiah appears. Verse 13, but if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you say that, 14, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Okay. If that's the way you want to play it. Now, naturally, because of the Nile and other things, Egypt was pretty good pickings, all right? But, see, man always has this way of depending on man instead of God. And you know something? He doesn't like that. Remember all the way back to chapter 17, verse 5? Remember what it said? It said, cursed be the man that depends on man and the strength of flesh rather than trusting God. You're always, anytime you try to depend on man to save you, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. Because your Father is there, he's able, and he has a Savior. Excuse me, verse 15. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. This is it. You remnant of Judah, not real Judah, but this remnant of scallywags, okay? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, if you get it settled in your mind way down that that's what you're going to do, regardless of what I have said, verse 16, then it shall come to pass that the sword, Satan's sword, which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. You know, God hates disobedience. He dislikes disobedience. And he likes those that are disobedient. Right, you can't trust them. You can't depend on them. Our Heavenly Father loves children that he can depend on. And if he has a duty, such as Jeremiah. Jeremiah is sticking his neck out delivering this prophecy. They could kill him. This was not a bearer of good news as far as they were concerned. Verse 17. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. This is to say the trouble, the tumult. God doesn't create evil. They bring it on themselves. So this was God's promise to them. And you know something? It would come to pass exactly that way. The beauty of this whole thing, Jeremiah will take the king's daughters, and he will go into Egypt. I will be showing you a documentary where there was a building even found in Egypt in 1860, somewhere along in there, where it states Judah's daughters. This was when Jeremiah had them there, and then later they would end up in Great Britain. History plus God's word is fantastic. Verse 18, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more." Never, I would bring you back if you went to Babylon, but if you go to Egypt, hey, I'm through with you. Now, when you go against God, you're asking for a lot of hurt, my friend. You're done. You always want to be pleasing to your father. He's your nearest relative. Why wouldn't you? You do want his blessings, right? That's why you pray to him. Then always follow his plan. For as it is written, that's exactly how it's going down. No give, no take. And again, you can't expect too much because this is a remnant that's a bunch of misfits. You got them in life today. Okay. And that's what we strive to save, in a sense, is some of them. But we won't be able to save them all. It is written, the example set forth, the type, and that's how it shall be. If they set their face, means if you decide to go there. Okay. Verse 19. "The Lord hath said concerning you, O you remnant of Judah." Not the nation Judah. This bunch of scallywags, this little remnant. "Go ye not into Egypt, know certainly that I have admonished you this day." I've warned you, and you better consider it. That's the word Jeremiah brought them. And I don't think anyone, after hearing the report, should have any problems knowing what God meant. He gave them that warning, hey, if you want to die, just step over there. You know, we have every promise God has ever made has a condition connected with it, other than salvation. Intuitively, it goes into motion. Well, it still has a condition. You got to believe. But when you meet those conditions, you're going to be blessed. You go against them, and you're cursed. Cursed be the man that puts his trust in man, that is to say, flesh, instead of Almighty God. They just really wanted to go down to that old Nile, that cool running water, kind of get down where things grew real well, they thought. Verse 20, to continue. "For ye dissembled, ye lied in your hearts." In your minds, back when you said send to God and ask, you were lying. "When you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it." You promised that, Jeremiah is saying. 21, "And now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you." You won't listen. 22, "Now therefore know certainly," I mean, this is beyond a doubt, "know certainly, that ye shall die by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither you desire to go and to sojourn." So, hey, stand fast in the end times, my friend. You know what the book of Revelation says that God's elect are to do or to accomplish when the king of Babylon comes. Make sure that you do it, because you know what? Only God's elect can commit the unpardonable sin, but it will never happen. Not one of God's elect will ever commit. I cannot believe it, that they would do it, that they would commit the unpardonable sin, which is simply to refuse the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak through them when they're delivered up before Antichrist. I think that the problem will be on the other hand. They will be very careful with their own mind that they don't put some of their own words into the fix to tell him what they think of him, rather than allowing the Holy Spirit. And as it is written in the great book of Luke in chapter 21, what you say at that moment, even the gainsayers will be convinced. So it's going to be powerful, my friend. What a time to live. And you're living in that generation. I mean, even the prophets wanted to live in this generation. You do. Chapter 43, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, when all was said, all was done, to then spake Azariah, this would be old Jeconiah, okay, the son of Hosea, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, proud in everything, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speak falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. In other words, it didn't please their ears. Now, here you see a type. Of course, what can you expect from a bunch of traitors anyway? I mean, deserters, cowards. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. A brave man dies once. Okay, and when you get hooked up with a bunch of misfits, you got problems, friend. That's why you always, before you go into battle, you always weed them out. Okay, you make it so tough on them that they crack. You're getting rid of them. You don't want them with you. They're just not fit. So, in a way, that's what's happening here. They're showing their true colors, that they don't really care. This would go all the way back to the second verse of the last chapter, where it said, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, not our God, thy God, speaking to Jeremiah, because they didn't claim him, only if it pleased them. So why am I stressing this? It's very important, especially in this generation, that you listen to your father. Verse 3, but Baruch, meaning blessed, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Your secretary, Baruch, meaning blessed, he's the one that put you up to this, not God. When God handpicks a teacher, a prophet, you want to be real careful, my friend, because God will never give you a word that God's, the written word, will not be a witness to. Otherwise, you're listening to a false teacher. But Jeremiah laid it right on the line, exactly as it was written. And to call him a false prophet, you would be sticking your neck out a long way. God doesn't like that, okay? Again, it's real easy to tell. How can I say that? Well, in Mark chapter 13, Jesus said, In the word I have foretold you all things. Meaning, if something comes along that's not in God's word, it's not part of the things. You got, it's not part of God's word, and it never will be. Okay. Again, I'll repeat that. Jesus said in Mark 13, I have foretold you all things, meaning through himself and the prophets. So it's complete. The word then is complete. That's how you tell a fake. Okay, but here they're calling God's own a false prophet. Not healthy, my friend. Next verse, verse 4. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. And again, what can you expect from a bunch of misfits? Verse 5. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah, this bunch, they were that were returned from all nations, kind of come out of the timber, whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah. 6. Even men and women and children and the king's daughters. Now these king's daughters are Zedekiah's daughters, who will later be, one of them being Scota, which from which today you have Scotland. He was named after her, okay? And King Asa, that's why you have the King James Version of the Bible. It's because of these daughters, okay? Don't ever forget that. Be that as history. And every person that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, had appointed this governor, a commoner, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, even he was taken, and Baruch, the son of Neriah, Jeremiah's secretary. Later, when they do arrive in Scotland and Ireland, Jeremiah will be called Olamphala, which simply means a wise, very wise man. But Baruch's name will not change. Even in Ireland, he is recorded as Baruch. Verse 7. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpenes, probably somewhere along about Memphis up in there. Again, should you worry about these daughters? No, as I say, I'll be showing you a documentary, and I'm sure that you'll even see a picture of the house that they stayed in while they were at this place, the daughters of Judah. Verse 8, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah and Tahpenes, saying, verse 9, take great stones in thine hand, and hide them in the clay in the brick pen, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tahpenes, in the sight of the men of Judah. You go ahead, and this pavement is this pavement of judgment, and right there in the street, do it openly, verse 10, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, full title, Yahweh, okay. Behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And notice who God is calling a servant here. Nebuchadnezzar, doing God's work. Okay, you got it? My servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. Now, you're not going to find this in the Bible, the history of where this actually came to pass, but you will in the history of Josephus in Antiquities 10, verses 9 and 10, I believe it is, somewhere along in there. You'll find the history of when Nebuchadnezzar actually accomplished this. Okay, God promised he would come after them, remember? Verse 11, and when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. In other words, God has already passed sentence on this group. As he passed that sentence, that's exactly as it will come to pass, and Nebuchadnezzar accomplished it. You might say, well, why would he do that? Well, look what Nebuchadnezzar did to these daughters' father, Zedekiah. He took all of his sons and killed them right in front of Zedekiah, and then gouged out Zedekiah's eyes. He couldn't see anyway spiritually, and took him prisoner, blinded, to Babylon. Okay, so sure, God will use it. He called him his servant. And God used him to bring to pass the prophecies that he had stated. Wouldn't listen to God. I don't know, how are you fixed, friend? Do you love the Lord? Then I mean, what you need to do is kind of listen to him, verse 12. And I will kindle a fire in the house of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them. He's going to burn the thing down and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt, as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. Be over. Verse 13 to complete the chapter. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that being the house of the sun. Boy, even tear her down, the little sun god house. Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. God doesn't like his own children, and the Egyptians would be his children, or anyone else, to worship other gods when he is the creator of all things. And people would take things he had created in form and shape or style, an idol, something to worship, rather than worshiping he that loved them so much, he that led them, that cared for them, truly cared. And man would rather serve himself, do his own will, when, as it was written and promised by God through the prophet Jeremiah, you're going to die there if you go down. And you know something? Our Heavenly Father saw to it that they did. Why? Because they disobeyed. Why would this be a lesson? Listen to your Father. Our Father is a God of love. And you'll have a few knuckleheads that will say, well, that doesn't sound like love to me. Discipline, my friend. If you do not have discipline, you might say, well, what does God hope to accomplish by this? Look at the overall, your generation today. You have a group of people, probably the third that followed Satan in the first earth age, are living right now. I believe that. I think that that's why people try to pull away and destroy the name of God, and you have so much wickedness in this world today. That by bringing the false Messiah, God gets to teach them a lesson that could save their souls. So you see, he is a God of mercy. And when you see the overall picture of his plan of salvation in these end times, then it makes it real clear why we have these examples that guide us, direct us, and lead us in knowing that God's elect in this end generation have had the opportunity to bring forth the truth of God's Word to many people that would never hear it or study it, but they're going to live it. It's going to be a thing of a reality to them very soon. And even as the nations strain and groan today, it's building up to that. It's coming. The signs are already beginning to appear. It's here in the Word. Have you read it? Chapter 44, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews, that's to say the tribe of Judah, which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdal, that's that means tower, and at Tophanis, and at Nop, and in the country of Pathros, saying, verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye have seen all the evil, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Meaning, I've kept my word. And when he said, Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, it's Yahweh Elohim Shebachim, Elohim, meaning of the children. Full title and of Israel. I always keep my word. And friend, you better get set for it. He always does. Verse 3, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, yet mother, nor your fathers. Now, who is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the tribe of Judah. No, he isn't. He's talking about this bunch of misfits. Okay? Don't ever try to lay, always rightly divide the word of God and pay attention to who it's written to. He's talking about this bunch of traitors, cowards. It's certainly a group you want to have no part of. So you practiced idol worship. You ignored me. You wouldn't listen to me. And you go out here and proudly burn incense to fake gods. That in the street, verse 4. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. You know how God feels about it? He hates it. He hates it when people practice idol worship, when they change his word, that he wants them to do what? Worship him. Love him. Love him, why? Because he's the one that provides us with all our natural flow of food and breath, even the very air itself. Verse 5. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto their gods. They just really wanted to put on a show, really play the little church next door, so religious, but never really studying God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse to be warned of the end times and what's about to befall us. Verse 6, wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Now, you want to remember, Nebuchadnezzar had already removed most of the tribes. And with this misfits gone, it wasn't a whole lot better off as far as having somebody there that still loved the Father. Why? Because they were burning the incense and practicing false religion, a religion other than what God had instructed. That can be anything. You can create a religion of laughter, or of speaking unintelligibly. You can create a religion of just about anything and just really hold people prisoner by it rather than what God says. Hey, he doesn't like it. Don't miss the next lecture. He mentions some of these things that they do in his name. And some of it fits some people today, my friend. I don't know. Do you have a part in it? Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. The Spirit moves. You got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, church, denomination, or organization. Let's don't judge people. You know, God lets us know whereby he load your discernment with knowledge is whereby you can discern good from evil, right from wrong, up from down. He teaches you that by utilizing common sense through the simplicity of his word properly translated. So always let God be judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you a mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request, or you can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He's got time for you. You are different than anyone else. DNA is different. You're unique. Why? He created someone just like you. He may not love what you do always, but he does love you. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, heal, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions. We're going to go with Tony in Tennessee. And question, when Jesus returns and no stones are left standing, does this mean in USA also? No. No, it is very definitely. You'll find it in both Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, and you'll find it also in Mark chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, that it's definitely that Daniel the prophet spoke of, let you in Judea flee. In other words, it's definitely in the state of Judea, specifically Jerusalem. Okay. I've been studying with you over 10 years, and I thank God for your teaching, Lord. You are so welcome. If you understand, okay, I'm going to thank you for those comments. We do reach thousands, and we're glad that the Father has given us this platform. One more very important question. I do not celebrate Easter, but is April the 16th the most holy day of Passover? It starts on 4/12/06 through 4/20/06. Please help me understand. 14 days into the new year, 15th day Passover, okay, by the solar calendar. Jim from Washington. Pastor Murray, I have really enjoyed your teachings. Thank you. My dad watches your program every morning and also really enjoys your teachings. I was just wondering, if you want to be a strong Christian, do you have to get baptized? It's just a question that has always been on my mind. Thank you. Christ is our example, okay? And Christ himself was baptized by John the Baptist. So naturally, you're supposed to follow in his footsteps. So you should be baptized. But what are you saying when you're baptized? You are publicly saying, I believe that Jesus Christ went into the tomb dead, and he resurrected into eternal life, and I want to follow him. It's your public declaration. Does that mean you have to be perfect? I don't. If people waited till they were perfect to be baptized, I don't think you would have one baptized soul in this world. Maybe, but it'd be hard pressed. Okay, so yes, you should be baptized. Any Christian can baptize another Christian unless you intend to join a specific church. And many times they're a little strict on who baptizes who, all right? It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man doesn't have anything to do with it. Sharon from Kansas. Are the seven-year locusts different from the regular grasshopper? The regular grasshopper is one of the types of the locusts, yes. And then you have the 19-year locus, okay? Kevin from West Virginia. Kevin, sometimes when you see the truth and you begin to learn the truth, it is natural. Some of your family is going to stick with traditions of men. But be patient, which I'm sure you are, and love them, appreciate them. And don't, when they turn you off, don't try to force them to hear. They're not going to, okay? Just don't talk religion around them when they really kick up at the real truth. And they will try to, if they question you, certainly answer. But if they're turned off totally and completely, remember what they said to Jesus himself. A prophet among his own is without honor, okay? So don't, family is not, you're very fortunate if the whole family sees the truth, but sometimes it's pretty poor pickings to plant seed. As far as growth is expected, you just have to play it as God leads you. Jessica from Missouri. Last Wednesday night, I went to my church youth group for our Bible study. The pastor was talking about heaven, and he said that our pets wouldn't go to heaven. Could you please give me some scripture to help me with this? Thanks so much. God bless you, Jessica. Well, Jessica, I do not know why your pastor would say that. What do we have to go by? We have to go by the Word of God. And when we read Isaiah chapter 11, we find the lamb, we find the wolf, but lying down together. They're not carnivores, they're in spiritual bodies, as well as many other animals that are there. God loves his animals, or he wouldn't have created them. I really do not know why your pastor would say that, and it's fine. You don't have to start an argument with him or anything else, but Isaiah chapter 11, plus many other places, let you know that God loves his animals. Many times he even uses them as illustrations to teach by, even. But you can even go back to the first earth age, the dinosaur, the mammoth. And why do we find all these creatures and artifacts? Because God loves his animals, and else he would not have created them. You love your pets. They're man's creation and some of man's best friends. Richard from Alabama, thank you for, I enjoy teaching. Please tell me where can I find the great lie will fly away our doctrine? I want to be able to witness against this lie. I know you have told me and my husband via television that the Antichrist will try to deceive us if he can. I'm interested in the subject and object of it. Where is the Holy Scripture in it? Well, usually where I think probably you're thinking about is Ezekiel chapter 13. Begin reading with about verse 18, but it'll be down about 20, where God says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. He doesn't like it. Okay. All right, he's got work for them. Why do you put the gospel armor on? Ephesians chapter 6. To stand against, I repeat, against the fiery darts of Satan. And we're Christian warriors, spiritually speaking. And that's what God expects us to do, okay? If you're going to teach it, I have two tapes on rapture. Is it two tapes on rapture? Acquire them, and then you'll be well equipped. Dwayne from Ontario. I think that's Canada. No, it's Illinois. Okay. Is it true that God lets Satan talk to us and tempts us? If this is true, why does God let this happen? I love you, Dwayne. Well, God doesn't let it happen. God doesn't cause it to happen. You do. You're the one that lets Satan talk to you. Christ, quite the contrary, gave us power over all of our enemies, including Satan. So never argue with Satan. I have a tape titled, Don't Argue with Satan. You might want to acquire it. You'll lose because he's sharp. Okay, he knows more Bible, only he usually twists it just a little bit, than most Christians. And don't even think that God causes Satan to talk to you. You allow it. He did the best he could. He gave you power over him. So if you put up with it, that's your problem, okay? That's what this is all about. Everybody sails their own ship. You better run a disciplined, tidy ship. If Satan tries to come on board, what are you going to do? Kick him off. Order him out. Get rid of him. Don't put up with it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, so don't you want to be real careful, as it's written in Jeremiah. God help the person that wakes up in the morning and says, "Wonder what kind of burden God will place on me today." He said, "You say you accuse me of letting burdens on you, and I'll let the whole sky fall on you You know, that's not a good way to start your day. God doesn't do that. Satan does. And he gives you the power to put a stop to it. Don't be a poor me, baby. Get up. Okay. Helen from Ohio. Can a person be forgiven sin by expressing true repentance to our Father, or must we confess sin to another to receive forgiveness? Do you know any man that can forgive sin? I don't. You know, if you want to confess your sins to somebody, but Father does the forgiving, not man. Now, man, through teaching, can lead you into a place whereby your sins can be forgiven, but you're the one that asks him to forgive when you have a change of mind. There is no man walking this earth today that can forgive sins. God does, okay? And I'm not knocking any person. Many good people can lead you into prayer that can bring you to a prayer of repentance, but he does the forgiving, okay? This is why it's written, and it's difficult for some to understand. What you save on earth is saved in heaven. If you lead somebody to repentance and they're saved, they'll be saved there too. But you don't do it. God does, okay, through the Son. Carolyn from New Orleans. My question is about all the different types of Bibles out there, like the NKJV, the NLT, the NIV, and so forth. Can you please inform me of a true Bible that is compatible to the King James Version so I can get a better understanding of God's Word? I know your answer is from God. Well, thank you. I have found, in my opinion, that one of the best study Bibles for a layperson is the Companion Bible. Why? Because it outlines Scripture. In other words, you have a column of the King James Scripture, one of the best you're going to find anywhere, of the original, and then you're going to have a parallel column that outlines whereby you know who it's talking to, when it was written, what it's talking about, who it's talking to, and educates you and helps you understand. You know, any good teacher, if he's going to write a book, if he's going to write an article, he does his outline and then does the writing, most usually. Well, same way with a good teacher. The King James Companion Bible is likewise. It outlines it for you where you know who the they's and the them's and so forth are before you get started. So I recommend the Companion Bible. You know, it's a strange thing. We carry them in our library. I have letters from people that go to a Bible bookstore, and they will tell them that's too complicated for you. Well, a child can understand it. I really, you know, just because it goes into the languages a little bit, a child can understand an outline. It's a very good work, okay? Gary from Arizona, please document where it says the tribulation is being shortened to 5 months. Well, that's real easy. First of all, go to the scripture that says it's going to be shortened. And you'll find that in Mark chapter 13, where Jesus says, for the elect's sake, I have shortened the time, or there would be no flesh saved. And that's how convincing the Antichrist is. But then when you go to Revelation chapter 9, what does Revelation mean? The unveiling, to make known. You find then Satan's name is given in two languages, in Greek and in Hebrew, Apollyon and Abaddon. And it states very clearly there that he only has a five-month period. So it was shortened to that time. It is also given on another scale of the whole five-month period being 1 hour, which is from Revelation chapter 17. Different study, different time. Your answer, Revelation chapter 9. Sue from Idaho. On your television broadcast, you explained what baptism is in the Holy Spirit. Would you explain what baptism in the Holy Spirit means? Sure. The Holy Spirit has many gifts. The word gift in the Greek is charisma. He gives charisma on subjects. For example, teacher. That the charisma he gives a teacher, you don't have to listen to a teacher long to know whether he has charisma of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you know, you can spot the fake. It doesn't take long to tell whether a man or a woman or a child has a gift. And that gift is charisma, whether it's teaching, pastoring, languages, study, whatever. Okay. And that is the baptism when it is complete. And it is obvious that the presence of the Holy Spirit is there because of the success of it. Okay. In other words, if it's effective, you can, and it's scriptural, it's blessed. Charisma. Bernie from Pennsylvania, bless your ministry. Thank you. As we have run out of church around here that speak the word or teach properly, we have been approached by deacon churches, different churches, deacons and churches, saying we need them, but we know better. They also say we can't go to church at home by TV. We know that is wrong. Where two or three are gathered in his name. I'm also a former Marine, 81-87. I still serve the Coast Guard, Semper Fi. All right, Bernie, good show. You know, where two or three are gathered in his name, even by ether waves, we are, and this broadcast is just an extension of our church. Now, if you can find a Bible-teaching church in your vicinity, hey, fantastic. Again, Semper Fi. K.E. from Michigan. Shepherd's Chapel, sir, I have a question. Could you tell me who were the number one Nephilim, number two sons of God in Genesis? It says they came down and had relations with earth women and had offspring of great renown. Are we talking about angels, UFOs, or what? Well, let's understand the word in the Hebrew. The sons of God are the stars of God, or the children of God, in the first earth age and in this age in heaven, that are not yet born of woman necessarily. Okay, Nephilim is a Hebrew word that the prime of it, the etymology, is Napha. Okay. And Napha in the Hebrew tongue means fallen. So it does mean fallen angels. Nephilim. Okay. And but you cannot, the sons of God, that is the Elohim. That is who God spoke to when he said, let us make man in our image. You were there, and you look just like you look there. And of course, they don't age, so they're all young. But you still look the exact same as you did there. The image is, it could even, the etymology with phantom, looks exactly alike, okay? But the sons of God are good. But Napha fallen means just like you would today. If you got somebody that's fallen out of grace, they're in trouble. Well, that's what they did. They left their habitation, and that brought about their death, as it is obvious in Jude verses 1 through 6, okay? Now, Dennis from California, in Luke 12:10, it states, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. Will you please explain? This is the unpardonable sin in Luke 12. But read just a little further, okay? And it, what does it say? When you say anything against the Son of Man, that's Christ in the flesh, okay? That'll be forgiven. But if when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, if you'd read just one more verse or two, that if you refuse the Holy Spirit, that's God's Spirit and the Son's Spirit, if you refuse them to speak through you, that's unforgivable. Okay. Who can commit that? only God's elect, because they're the only ones that are going to be delivered up before the spurious Messiah. Everybody else loves him. They think it's Jesus. Okay? But it's, as I said earlier in the program, that's not going to happen. Luke 12, verse 10, the unpardonable sin. Karen from West Virginia, please talk about cremation again. Where is it in the Bible? God bless you, and we'll pray for you. Cremation, probably one of the best places you can take it from would be in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, where it speaks of this flesh body, basically, even back to verse 1. It says, when you get older, the birds don't sing as loud, and children don't make as much noise, and when you get in high places, it's a little teetery, you know, and you don't, the windows kind of begin to close. I mean, you don't see like you used to out of your eyes, and even your passions kind of reduce, all right? This is Hebrew, all right? I'm laying it out like it is. And it says your grinders don't grind as well, okay? That means your teeth. They said, ere the clay pot, this flesh body breaks, and the silver cord part. This flesh goes back to dirt, and instantly your spirit, the intellect of your soul and your soul, return to the Father that gave it. Okay, so it doesn't matter how it gets there. Nothing wrong with cremation. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot for a real special reason. You enjoy studying my Father's Word, but you know what's most important? It makes God's day when you do that. He really loves you for that. And when you make his day, he's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. You know what? He will always bless you. Most important, you do this. You stay in his word. Every day in his word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the